Good morning. You all look a trifle underdressed. Well, not all of you. Alan and I are appropriately attired, and Norman and Sheila. Few people said to me this morning, if I'd known you were going to wear Western, I would have. So I said, well, I'll send you all home and you can come back dressed Western. This is unusual for me, of course. But anyway, good to see everyone here this morning. Warm welcome. More of us than I anticipated. I thought more people might have been out camping. But anyway, it's great to see you all. It's great to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day where we worship him. During the week, I saw Irene Schultz, and she asked me to convey her love and good wishes to the whole congregation and to let you all know that she's there and the door's open and the tea kettle's on. So anybody who wants to pop in and see Irene, she'll be delighted. Well, there you go. Also, we remember today, worshipping at the same time as we are our friends who are out camping at Yaha Tinder, so we will keep them in our hearts and our thoughts and our prayers, and we pray that it doesn't rain on them out in the open there. But anyway, Marge, over to you. Thank you.
Morning. Vacation Bible School. Is there anything to add, Susan, about... Is there anything to add about Vacation Bibles?
Not that I'm aware of. It is 2 weeks from now, or not this week, from next Monday we start. And there's a sign-up sheet for any. We need some supplies brought for the little snacks, so if you can look at the sign-up sheet out on the bulletin board, and if you want to bring anything for us, we would sure appreciate that.
Okay. Thank you. So that's July the 18th to the 22nd. And are there any other announcements this morning? If not, then I'm going to let Ian explain the musical, because that took place while we were gone, I guess. I don't know anything about it.
See, we had a musical when you were gone.
Yeah.
It's just that I mentioned in the bulletin about the Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, and of course, Pat Christensen is planning on our church presenting this musical sometime early next year. Perhaps in February, I think that's the date that she has in mind. She still has to get the okay from Rodgers and Hammerstein and find out how much royalties are and all this technical stuff, but that's the plan. If you've never been involved in anything like this before, get involved in it. It is a tremendous amount of fun. Not just the actual putting on of the musical, but the rehearsals and the practices and the camaraderie that goes on between everybody, and you will enjoy it. And you don't have to sing. You really don't have to be a singer, even though it is a musical. There are groups of singers where you can get swallowed up in the middle. You know, like that's what Dan's going to do. Dan's going to be in it, and he claims he can't sing. And there'll be a slot there for Charlie as well somewhere. But there's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board, and there's all kinds of jobs to be done. There's costumes to be made and sewn, and there's the set to be built and adapted and created and painted and all kinds of things. There's lots and lots of jobs to do. So there is a job for you. So put your name down on the sign-up sheet, and Pat will, who is very, very good at casting these things, you know, she is excellent. She'll have a look at you and decide what you're good at. So there you go. Everybody sign up, and we'll all have a great time, and we will present it for the community. Okay, so that's hopefully in February. Any other announcements? We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence, and you will find the silent prayer in the bulletin. Our call to worship comes from Psalm 100, and it is the words, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." I'm happy to invite Margaret to come on up here and get us singing. Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you. Good morning. Sing lustily. We are fewer today. Okay, our first one is number 18 in the red book. Okay. I will come his courts with thanksgiving in his heart. Will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Be glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad.
Do it again.
I will enter his courts with thanksgiving in my heart. Will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the Lord that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad.
And our second one is in the hymn book. Making you jostle books, I'm sorry. Number 381.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key. Shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine, open my ears that I may hear. Voices of truth thou sendest clear, and while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything else will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my ears, illumine me. Spirit divine, open my mouth and let it bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait. Open my heart, illumine me, Spirit divine.
And our last one is back in the red book again. Number 236. All Christians are servants of the Lord. And I thought this would be a good one to take us into worship. Make me a servant.
Who are we?
Thanks to Margaret for leading us into our worship with those approach choruses. Shall we now bow our heads and join together in prayer? Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father, we give you thanks, Lord, that you have called us each and every one to be here this day, right here in your house, where we come, Lord, to worship you, where we come to give to you, Lord, all of the honor and all of the glory that you are due. We come before you, Father, with hearts overflowing with thanksgiving. We have had a wonderful week. We have great things happen to us, blessings bestowed upon us in full. And at those times, Lord, when the week hasn't been so good, you have also been there right for us, lifting us and blessing us as we come along our way. And so, gracious Father, as we meet to worship, we pray that you will open our hearts. We pray that you will open our minds. And we pray that each of us may hear your voice. And we pray at this time, Lord, for our brothers and sisters who worship you at this time in all places, but especially those of our church family, Lord, who worship you out in the countryside at the Yaha Tender. Bless them with your presence, Lord. Bless us with your presence, for we worship you in the name of Jesus. And we pray, as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. That's the big version if you want to use that.
Our responsive reading this morning is taken from the 119th Psalm. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end.
Glory be to the Father, to the Son,
sneaking off to. We take him for granted a lot. He's here every week presenting music for us prior to the service starting, and now we have Peter presenting for us special music, and we never know what's going to come. It's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Thank you, Peter.
We have this people here from England.
From where?
England.
Your
country of birth. And they had a hymn during the wedding, which I will play now. Ooh. They used it for Diane's funeral. They used it for his wedding. So that's it. Three people involved.
Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. And that hymn actually is the hymn "Love Divine or Love's Excelling," and that's the tune that if it ever gets sung in England, that's the tune that they use. And as Peter says, it was used at the royal wedding, it was used at our wedding, the other royal wedding. And Peter once appeared at his funeral. Is that what you said? Okay. Who would you like to play it for you? But thank you, Peter, so much. We appreciate you and we appreciate your music. And your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are always thankful, ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude. We ask you, Lord, to accept these gifts, and we ask you to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you. If any of the children are going out, this is the time for them to go. I feel guilty now. We stand and we sing to the glory of God the hymn 560, verses 1, 3, and 5 of For the Beauty of the Earth. We stand and sing to God's glory. Come to our time of prayer, and at this particular time I just wanted to make mention of the funeral service, the memorial service of Reg Francis, which took place on Monday past. Alice Francis is very grateful to all of her church family for the strength and support that they gave to her, not only at that memorial service but also as through the weeks and through the months, for phone calls, for cards, for visits, you know, and all of the wonderful ways in which a church family gives strength to one another. The Spirit works through each and every one of us and lifts all around. And Alice is so grateful. And, you know, it sounds strange, I know, but I think it was a great funeral service. It was a great service. It was a celebration of Reg's life. And it was a good celebration. And anybody who wants one of these cards who didn't get one, I've got a few left. Come and see me afterwards, or see Iris, and we'll get you one of those cards. But Alice appreciates you all. Please keep in touch with her. She looks forward to continuing to receive from yourselves the support that she gets. And also, I know that you will keep in your hearts and minds all of our church family, especially those who are not able to be here very frequently because of various reasons. You're probably like Iris and like me. You look around the church on Sunday morning and you think, so-and-so's not here. Oh, they've been missing for a couple of weeks now, you know, and I better turn up the prayers for that person. And you probably do the same yourselves. Keep praying for them. We bow our heads and we join together in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, your loving word has been sown extravagantly in our hearts, and we thank you. We praise you for how the seed of your word lies within us, waiting for the right moment, for the right conditions to sprout, to grow, to burst forth in the right season. We thank you, Lord, for how you continue to sow your word, even when to others the ground may appear to be hard and unyielding, and for how, in the end, when we are willing, the yield is rich beyond imagination. We pray, O Lord, that we might be willing to give control over to you in our lives, willing to grow, willing to produce seed and sow it in the lives of other people. Bless this day, O Lord, those we know whose hearts are like hardened paths, those who travel in rocky places and in places where the cares of this world press hard upon them. Be with those, Lord, who we know who are afflicted by illness or by despair or by a lack of hope in their lives or by any of the attributes that or the attitudes that lead to death instead of leading to life. We pray, Father, that you will bring your healing touch to them, your life-giving word and your saving love, and help them, Lord, to accept these gifts that you offer. And so we pray now in silence for those whom the Lord has placed upon our hearts to care about and especially to pray for. We pray for them now. We thank you, Holy Father, for this time together, for this fellowship where we gather as a church family. And often, Lord, we only realize how much it means to us when we are not able to be here for a period of time and are able to come back and be warmly welcomed and received into the arms of the fellowship. And we thank you for this fellowship, Lord. We thank you for our church family. We thank you for the grace and for the joy and for the peace that you give to us. And we ask, Lord, that you will watch over our homes, watch over our families, protect us, Father, from anything that would bring harm of any kind to us. And we pray that you will grant us the strength of your Holy Spirit, that we might be strong in the presence of the tempter who surely prowls and roars around us like a lion. Forgive us, Father, for those moments when we have failed you. We are conscious of these times, Father, and we ask that by the power of your Spirit that we might stand up for the precious name of Jesus, and that we might declare to the world that Jesus Christ is Lord. We pray in and through his most glorious name and for his sake. Amen. And so we listen now to the word of the Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Gospel Matthew 1 through 9, 18 through 23. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got in the boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he scattered the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where they did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes around of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling amongst the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of his life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Therefore, there is now no condemnation of those who are in Jesus Christ, because through Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son into the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law may be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. But those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God and does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Yet, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of the God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even through your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he has raised Christ from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you.
Thanks to Ray for those readings from the scriptures. He's an Englishman, you know, like me. We both come from the north of England. We're not that far apart. We both talk funny. Thanks, Ray. But it doesn't matter where we come from, does it? Does not matter where we come from. This is my Father's world, and the whole world belongs to God, and that's what we sing about as we rise and sing to his glory. The hymn number 58, This Is My Father's World. And the wonders wrought. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I first wrote the bulletin for this week, I put a title in of the message of the parable of the sower. And then I put the parable of the soil. And I sent it off to be printed, and then I changed my mind. And it's still similarly entitled, but the title came into my mind of one of the questions that I put in the bulletin. And that question was, did Jesus ever fail? Did Jesus ever fail? A customer went into a garden centre and advised the proprietor, I want to start a garden, but my yard is a little problematic. He says, I get blazing afternoon sunshine for about 2 hours, but otherwise it's all shade. Well, what kind of soil do you have? The proprietor asked him. Oh, hard clay. Lots of rocks, said the customer. What do you recommend I plant? Said the proprietor. Why don't you go and have a look down aisle B? We've got a big new supply of bird baths and flagpoles. That's supposed to be funny. Do you want me to do it again? Do you not get it? This man's garden was one of the types of soil that Jesus referred to in his parable of the sower. And so in today's bulletin, I posed that question, did Jesus ever fail? When you think of who Jesus was, Jesus is God. And the thought of God failing in anything is kind of something that hard for our minds to take in. But did Jesus ever fail? We might not like the answer, but yes, he did. Yes, he did. Jesus' objective here on earth was to establish in the hearts and minds of men and women the kingdom of God. And to do this, in this particular instance, he likened himself to a sower, scattering the seeds of the kingdom of God in the soil of the hearts of men and women, all men and women who ever heard. But very few of the people who heard the words of Jesus, either then or now, go on to produce fruit for God's kingdom. Jesus and his disciples suffered a lot of rejection. And more often than not, they heard words of discouragement rather than words of encouragement. And you know, there are times when each and every one of us in our Christian lives feel the same way. A herd of buffalo was grazing on the range where the deer and the antelope play. Do you get it? And suddenly a cowboy came riding up and he jumped off his horse and he said, you are the sorriest excuse for a buffalo that I ever saw. Your eyes are bloodshot, your coat is dirty and matted, and quite frankly, you stink. And with that, he jumped back on his horse and he rode off. And the buffalo turned to his neighbour and he said, you know, I think I just heard a discouraging word. We all do from time to time. As Christians, the devil attacks us. And the closer you get to God, the more ferocious will be the attacks of the devil on you and on your life and on your ministry. And the devil will attack you via the most unexpected places and people. And it usually comes right after you've experienced some kind of a spiritual high. And you know, Jesus' disciples, well, can you imagine what life must have been like for them? They were no different. They heard words of discouragement and they were down and they got switched off from time to time. And when Jesus sensed that their morale was low, as he did in this instance, He told three parables that are recorded in Matthew 13. Did you ever think why? Why did Jesus present those parables at that particular time to his disciples? The three parables were the parable of the sower, the parable of the weeds, and the parable of the mustard seed. So we've got Jesus' disciples who were not only frequently abused by words, but the words that were thrown at them, but they were also suffering a lot of physical abuse as well. We know how discouraged you can get from time to time, and how that makes you feel so down, and it's hard to function in every aspect of your life. Sometimes we feel like you're bashing your head against the wall. You know, you're not getting anywhere in whatever it is you're trying to achieve. All our efforts seem to be in vain. And so this is how Jesus' disciples must have felt. And Jesus looked at them and he could see that he needed to lift them. They felt as if they were achieving nothing. They were going out with this insurmountable task before them to present Jesus to the world. And they were being rejected left, right and centre. So first Jesus tells the parable of the sower. And some people think that this will be better entitled the parable of the soil, because it's really about the soil that the seed lands in and upon. The farmer scatters the seed, and he seems to scatter it indiscriminately, flying here, there and everywhere. And the seed lands on all kinds of different soil. And the sower is not only the Lord Jesus Christ, but the sower is the one who practices and preaches the way of Christ. The seed, of course, is the word of God, and the soil is the one who hears the word, or hopefully hears the word. And Christ mentions these four kinds of soil. The hard soil, on the pathway. Then there's the rocky places where the soil was there, but it was sparse. And then there was the soil where the weeds and the thorns grow. And then there's the good, the fertile soil. And of these four kinds of soil, only one of them was of any use in producing a crop. Only one of them. One out of four. Yet all types of soil received the seed. They all received the seed, but only one was of any use. Reverend Fred Craddock tells of an incident when he received a phone call from a lady whose father had died. Now it seems that this woman had been a teenager in one of the churches that Fred Craddock had pastored but 20 years earlier. And he would have sworn that if ever there was a person who never heard a single word that he preached, that that teenage girl was the one. He said she was always giggling with her friends, sitting at the back somewhere, passing notes to the boys, drawing pictures on the bulletin. Did we catch anybody there? Drawing on the bulletin? No. But when her father died, she looked up her old pastor, the Reverend Fred Craddock, and gave him a call. "I don't know if you remember me," she started off. Oh yes, he remembered her. "When my daddy died, I thought I was going to come apart. I cried and I cried and I cried and I didn't know what to do. And then I remembered something you said in one of your sermons." And Fred Craddock, when he heard these words, was absolutely stunned. She had remembered something that he had said in one of his sermons. And it was proof enough to him that you can never tell how or where the seed will fall, or where or how it might take root and grow. The farmer scatters the seed. It is God who causes the seed to take root and to grow. And God will do it, but in his time. So Jesus' disciples needed to know this. And they also needed to know that the more of the scattered seed, more of the scattered seed was going to get wasted than was going to become fertile and grow They needed to know this. They needed to be reassured. Don't get down. Don't get discouraged. Keep on working for the kingdom, and some of that seed will grow. In his book, The 1 Minute Manager, Ken Blanchard says, there is a difference between interest and commitment. He says, when you are interested in doing something, you do it, but you do it when it is convenient. But when you are committed to something, you accept no excuses. And good soil represents the community of the committed. People who are determined to serve Christ to the best of their ability. People who are willing to make whatever sacrifices are necessary to see that Christ's kingdom is come, that it is presented, and that their work and their witness bears fruit. Their work will never perish. Their seed will never perish, because God in his time will see that that seed grows and bears fruit. In this parable, Jesus tells us never to despair. You might seem and you might think that you're wasting your time and your efforts in proclaiming the kingdom, but ride above any words of discouragement that may and probably will come your way, and God in his time will bring forth fruit. And Jesus also tells us how people respond to the kingdom of God, and how true it is. There are those who understand it and they accept it, and the kingdom grows and it produces fruit, and they are the good soil, and we can see it, can't we? We look around and we can see it. And there are those who receive the seed and the kingdom begins to grow, but then it gets choked out by the weeds and the worries of life, the job, the kids, the financial stuff, the hobbies, the interests, what Jesus refers to as the thorns of life. And there are people who hear the word and there seems to be apparent joy and enthusiasm, and the kingdom begins to grow and it seems to be sprouting up quickly, and then troubles come along and persecution comes and the growth is killed. And they are the shallow soil in the rocky places. And then there are those who never understand, and growth never occurs. They are the paths, the hard places, and nothing there worthwhile ever grows. Jesus wants you. I could add there to be a sunbeam, because I guess Jesus wants you to be a sunbeam. But Jesus wants you to be the good soil, because from good soil he grows a good sower, and from the good sower flows the seed, the word of God's ongoing kingdom. And for that we say thanks be to God. Amen. For our closing hymns, first of all, we're going to sing what I'm pretty sure I heard Peggy playing during the offertory. Is that right? Jesus Loves Me, Peggy? Were you playing that? I thought you were. We're going to stand and sing to God's glory the hymn 579, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So.
To Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me all the way. He prepares a home for me.
To be God's people. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore. Congregation singing, It Is Well With My Soul. Whoa!